Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
How Connecticut are you? Are you wearing khakis and a polo?
Regarding Lynch, who cares? What was he going to do today? Was he going to address his supporters? Oh, thank you for the question!
Cap ran through the entire Yankee lineup, but he left out one guy. And his name is Alex Rodriguez.
I like to try and forget about him because...
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the second edition of our Super Bowl week coverage. Glad to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California, where we will meet Tom in New Jersey tonight to break down some more from Super Bowl 50, again, with the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. This time we're going to talk about individual players. We're going to get into the hype with Cam Newton, a lot of backlash, a lot of guys not liking his attire and his flamboyance. And then on the other side, we're looking at Peyton Manning and the retirement tour and just how syrupy that got and how annoying that can be for some people as well. So that's the theme tonight. We're going to focus on the legacy of Peyton Manning. What will this game do to reflect on his career? We'll look at Cam Newton and see whether he ends up making a big splash in his first Super Bowl with the Panthers. As you know, it is not the Panthers' first Super Bowl. They had a Super Bowl back in 2003 with Jake Delhomme. Funny note about Jake Delhomme, I saw a tweet with a picture that said that Jake Delhomme was going to be at a local San Francisco bar tonight. I don't know what that means. I don't even know if that's actually a real thing, but that there was the sign, and it looked like it was, in fact, in San Francisco. Saw it on Twitter. If you're looking for the tweet, it's a guy on Fox Sports, Jason Smith, and his Twitter handle is How About a Fresca, which ties back into Caddyshack. You remember when Judge Smales had the one kid, that the main character of the movie that no one knows about? Well, he brought him into his house, and at the end, he was trying to convince him. He'd talk about how important this scholarship is. I mean, this is just a bullshit plot. I mean, that the plot of the story is so dumb. The story of the plot line is some kid in high school is trying to get a caddy scholarship so that he can get through college, and they do it by being the best caddy in this particular caddy tournament. And so Smales is trying to make his case and trying to give him, I don't know what, I forgot, some scholarship of some kind. So he's making his pitch. And at the end, he goes, "How about a Fresca?" And that's where, so this guy's Twitter handle comes from. So anyway, if you're looking for that picture, there it is. And if you're in the area, yeah, go. I don't know where this bar is, but if you find a San Francisco bar that says Delhomme is in the building, go inside. He probably is in the building. As we speak at 7:03 p.m., Pacific time, you may run into a Super Bowl legend, Jake Delhomme from the Carolina Panthers. Played for them for quite a while, about 11 years. And the next time we remember seeing, well, there are a couple other times that the Panthers were in the playoffs. I remember, let's see, 2005. Did they go to Chicago and beat them? Or was I thinking, no, maybe that was 03. But either way, had a couple of postseason appearances after the fact. One memorable game I remember, this may have been the 2003 season, but I remember there was a game that they played against the Rams, and it went to double overtime, and it was in St. Louis, and that was a really fun game, and I think Carolina won the game because that was the first step on their way, well, that was one of the steps on the way to a Super Bowl berth, a Super Bowl berth that they almost took advantage of. They were that close to winning the game at the fourth quarter. It was a scoreless third quarter. Fourth quarter, Super Bowl 38. Fourth quarter, it was back and forth. Carolina would score a touchdown. New England would score a touchdown. And it would just come down to the end. And remember the guy that was the kicker for the Carolina Panthers? John Casey. Kicked the ball out of bounds on the final possession of the game for New England. And that gave the Patriots the ball on the New England 40-yard line, basically gives it to him at midfield with only needing a field goal to win the game because the game was tied. So Brady takes pure advantage of that situation, gets it in line for the soon-to-be Hall of Famer, in my opinion, Adam Vinatieri kicks the ball down the middle, and the Patriots win the game at the gun. A pretty exciting game. And that's the last time the Panthers were in the playoffs. This time around, they don't play the Patriots, but they do play the Denver Broncos, which will feature a team that, you know, we, as Jacob and I were talking about last night, it's a pretty good all-around team, but the problem was that the best player on the team, I mean, the most important player on the team is the worst player on the team, and that's Peyton Manning. So Manning's had a fantastic career, and he's had some pretty talented teams around him, and they didn't do anything. And Manning is not doing much this year, but the team around him has carried Mr. Manning into the Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't think you take away the Super Bowl if he wins a Super Bowl here, far long as the odds are, because it's a good all-around team. And, you know, I think we underestimated just how good the defense was, and it was good enough to take down the Patriots. So you got to give Denver the credit where it is due. But looking ahead, it's like, well, don't you think that the Broncos are eventually going to get some turnovers and give the Panthers a leg up on the game? It seems that way. But we'll see with Tom and maybe even Andy tonight as they call in whether they have the same feeling that I do about this game. So we're still waiting on our friend Tom in New Jersey to join us. I will send him a reminder that we are on the air. But in the meanwhile, let me see. What do I have here? Go on. Give you some of our best of footage. Let's see. I think I got it here. I think we can... let's see. I got it. We'll get this in a moment. But... I didn't plan this out, but let's see. I don't remember this. Sarah Palin and Glenn Rice. I think this goes back to our. So we have some bonus footage for you tonight while we wait for our friend Tom in New Jersey to join us. So we'll go to break and we'll play this clip from our past. This is from the Random Questions Hour. Going back, this is now 5 years old. This has been a long time. 9/14. Okay, so it says 9/14/12. So this is from September 2012. And Junkie and I were talking about how Sarah Palin and Glenn Rice was somehow intertwined. How could that have happened? Let's go to the tape and take you back to 2012. Random Questions with Kevin and me. Did Sarah Palin bang Glenn Rice in 1987? It's a weird question.
Rice, as in like the Glenn Rice, who the basketball player?
Yeah, you would know who that he is. He played for Michigan in the late 80s.
Yeah, I was gonna say in 1987, Glenn Rice was in high school, wasn't he?
Kind of.
I know he was on the 90 Michigan team played Seton Hall and Syracuse and the whole great Final Four that had, or in Illinois too, they had like, you know, 15 eventual pros were in that Final Four. But I thought that was 89.
That was 89.
And he was a junior or senior, so I mean, 87, he was a freshman at the oldest in college. He was 18. Where does this stuff come from? Is this like a real story, or was someone just making stuff up?
He wouldn't necessarily have been a freshman. He was a senior in 1989. That
Why
is true.
Why would Sarah Palin be in Ann Arbor in 1987?
Well, this is one of many allegations being made in the media. I think it might. I read the report. I just forgot it suddenly. But there's an allegation that, and that's our highlight footage from 2012. I'm glad that you stayed with it. With us for that, but we are back on the air now, and let's get right to it. We have Tom in New Jersey joining us now on the program. So, Tom, welcome to the show. It's been a while. How's it going tonight, Tommy?
Dave, it's been way too long. How are you, bud? I am good.
Doing well. You know, it's that time of year again, Super Bowl 50, and two teams that are going to go at it. A lot of hype about Cam Newton and Peyton Manning, and on WFAN. I mean, I hate keep going back to FAN, but, you know, it's a big station, and Francesa, to Howard Stern's perceived chagrin, does get big ratings. But anyway, a lot of questions about Cam Newton, and I think most of it is just the idea that he is a very, very, what is the word? He's a flamboyant
polarizing
person. Yeah, polarizing is the word. I don't see what the problem is, but I understand why people would get annoyed at him. People bringing the race card into it is silly. I think that does not factor into it at all to me. But with Cam, he does like to bring attention to himself. I mean, those pants that he wore on the plane, look, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's just fun, but why, pants like that, I think you have to think that, like, some of that has to do with wanting to draw attention to himself, or just simply the fact that the pants draw attention, period, and it just appealed to him. So we have Andy in the line, too, but first, let me just leave that on the table. Let's introduce Andy to the program. Andrew, welcome to the program. How's it going tonight amidst the college basketball?
Oh, what's going on? The Super Bowl's in, what, 4 days or so?
Coming up. Yep. Over in...
And now, I want to bring... Has anyone brought up Cam Newton? I don't know.
Who is Cam Newton, by the way?
I don't know. No, seriously, I know there's been a lot of storylines addressed, but has anyone brought up Cam Newton and his image? I don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, what has he done? Look, Andy, I know that even when we were doing Kids Club, you were talking about how he really does draw attention to himself, whether it's the flashing of the dancing on the sideline or in the end zone or whatever it is. So, yeah, I mean, he's been a really big topic, much bigger than I expected. I was certainly not prepared for this to dominate the conversation. Has it surprised
you? Well, that's what's stupid about Super Bowl week. That's what's stupid about the week before Super Bowl week, is every storyline gets just magnified. Like when the Steelers and Seahawks played in Detroit, they made a big storyline of Jerome Bettis being from Detroit because the Super Bowl was in Detroit. And why was that a fucking story? Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Ooh, Mike had a show today. Ooh, what's the big idea? And so with Cam, as we all have documented, there's nobody else that loves Cam Newton more than Cam Newton. And that's just the facts, whether – and you can say that in the Super Bowl – you can say that in August before the preseason. That it is what it is. But all these other factions and soapboxes about breaking it down with, like, race and all that stuff, that's, we don't do that on this show, I don't think. And, you know, I guess his jersey is, like, the number one selling jersey in the entire league. So, obviously, people still like him. And then I think a lot of the bricks and the idiots and the racist curmudgeons, you know, they're probably not buying his jersey. They're making comments on, you know, internet sites and amongst themselves. So let the creatures be creatures.
No doubt. Let's go to Tommy. Anything else you wanted to comment as far as the Cam Newton hoopla?
I will say that Cam Newton always wears stylish clothing. I mean, those pants that you mentioned were over the top, and even for him, I think that was a little much. But he's always been one of these stylish dressers. He's kind of like LeBron and Dwayne Wade. He's always wearing weird stuff. Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
But not as bad as him, but he always looks good. Towing on the edge of crazy, but this past week he went too far, and his pants were wild and crazy. I think as soon as Cam mentioned being a black man and him getting separate attention and how people are afraid of him, that just opened it all up. And he didn't really need to say that, obviously, and I bet if he could take it back, he would. But I think he likes all the pressure being on him. I think he wants all the pressure on him because he knows he can handle it. He's had pressure ever since college. Probably before that, with his dad being an idiot, and let's not go there, but his dad is an idiot. And but he likes all the pressure being on him. He wants all the pressure. He needs all the pressure. That's just how he is. Cam all the time, as Andy said. So I'm tired of it. I think all sports fans are tired of it. But every year there's a storyline. What was it last year? Marshawn Lynch not yep. talking to the media. That was very stupid.
And Deflategate.
Yeah, Deflategate too.
We just want the game right now. We're waiting for the game. There's nothing else on. February's a bad month. I know we got college basketball, but there's not much else on.
You know, in this week in particular, for some reason, just feels like it's just been a very dry sports week. Although tonight is probably a good night. Andy mentioned the college hoops. It's a pretty good year in college. We'll talk about that later. But now let's go to the other side with Denver. And a lot of talk about Peyton Manning. Is he going to retire? Yeah, he's going to retire. I don't think there's any real debate. What's really interesting is how much the PED talk is driving the conversation. Not a lot of talk about that compared to Cam, at least on one particular radio station, but it is still a story. So, Manning's going to have to play coy. I don't think there's, with the games so close, what else is he going to do? But the fact is, he just isn't really he's definitely the weakest part of the Broncos right now. Is it enough? And I think that's the question for me with Peyton Manning. Is he going to go out in style? Or is this postseason history going to really be the truer arbiter of what he will do? We'll go with Andy first on Peyton Manning. Are you tired of that hype? And what do you expect from him going into the game?
Oh, sorry. About Peyton Manning? Yeah, Peyton Manning's super boring. And that's the thing. You nailed it. They win in spite of him. I know he had that really good year the first time around when he had 55 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And even in that Super Bowl, they got destroyed. So although we might be a little subjective, as we always have been with either Peyton or the Broncos, I don't see their offense clicking for 48 or 60 minutes. Some of those deep plays he made against New England, more credit goes towards the wide receivers because they made the play on the jump balls, and there were three of them in the first half. I mean, that accounted for all of their offense. The two catches by the tight end, and then there's another big play downfield where Butler just didn't jump high enough. So Manning, whatever. I think Carolina's going to have their way, and old Manning the sheriff will not get his wish. But whether he retires or not, whatever. We still got one more Manning in the NFL. His name's Eli. And that's what counts around here.
It's never his fault either. That's what's key. Never his fault.
Neither Manning. Never their fault.
Exactly. All right. So Tommy, Peyton Manning, have you felt like this is an appropriate time for his career to end? Because it does seem like he is certainly one of the most talked about players, and for a lot of the time it's been for good reason. So what do you expect from Manning going into this game, and will this be the end of the line?
I definitely think it will be the end of the line, and I disagree with Andy. I think Peyton Manning will go out on top. I am picking Denver to win.
Wow.
I always used to go with offense over defense, and I know Carolina doesn't have a great offense, but their offense is better than Denver's right now, and I like picking the team that no one expects them to win. I think Denver's defense and their pass rush is going to give Carolina problems. I expect Denver to win a tight game. I'm hoping the line keeps going up and up. I hope it gets to 7. It's at 6 right now. I'm hoping it gets to 7. If it gets to 7, that'd be great.
Right.
I just think Denver's defense is very good right now.
Yeah.
I love their pass rush. And I know Cam's the X factor. I know he's great, but I don't trust guys like Ted Ginn. I don't trust the Carolina offensive line right now.
Oh, right.
I don't trust Michael Orr and company. I don't trust a lot of those guys. Jonathan Stewart is a good running back. I know they got a lot of rushing yards. I know they average about .130 a game in rushing, and I'm worried about that. I'm obviously worried about Cam. I think everybody's thinking Dever doesn't have it, and the AFC is not very good this year, and they're right. It wasn't very good this year, but I think Denver can win this game, Dave.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I think they can win this game too, but it would take a lot. I would be really surprised if they won outright.
You really think it would take that much? I mean, this isn't the 49ers and the Chargers where it's like a 16-point spread.
Right.
And no one this kind of reminds me of Denver, Seattle a few years ago.
Wait.
No one really gave. What was the line in that game? It was around 5 or 6, wasn't it?
What game are you talking about? The game. It was. I think
Denver,
it was,
Seattle a few years ago.
Yeah, but Seattle killed them.
Seattle opened up as like a slight favorite, and then Denver ended up as the slight favorite.
Yeah, it was like 3 points.
What was it? What did it end up being? Like 3?
Yeah, like 3.
Most people
I know had Denver winning that game, and I had Denver winning that game big, and maybe that's why I'm gun shy picking Carolina when everybody else is. But I just can't pick the team that everybody else is picking.
No, I see your point on this. I don't think it's. I mean, it may not be a blowout for the whole game, but I think eventually, like, I feel like Carolina would pull away. That's my feeling on it. Now let's go to Andy for his take, because I'm curious as to how you would play this against the spread. Would you take the points and still pick Carolina? What would you do here?
Well, obviously I'm super subjective. I hate Denver, and I've seen Carolina for 2 weeks, and I see Carolina kind of having their way, but. You know, all those doubters should actually. Tommy makes a good case for the other way. It's spiteful. I don't want to see Manning win. I think he's old. I think his arm sucks.
It did suck enough 2 weeks ago with the beat your team.
Yeah, well, but fair enough. I get that. Well, that's why we're rooting for Carolina. I'm admitting this. I'm not trying to be like, ooh. I think they're going to win. Just list a bunch of stats. I'm being a Mongo. But, you know, as we get closer to Sunday, I might not be as confident with Carolina. And I might even switch to Denver. That's the thing about these Super Bowl bets. We'll see what happens Sunday morning. So everyone's got a fun house, so I can't say I'm going all in with Carolina yet.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that can
obviously
change.
Obviously, sometimes you want them to... think they're going to win, you want them to win, but at last minute, you're like, well, maybe put money on the other team.
Righto. Yeah, I mean, it can, and you're right, what if there's an injury between now and then? I mean, a lot of things can change. It's still early in this week, so, I mean, plenty of time before.
Yeah, but Dave, who really on Carolina would get hurt that it would change this point spread? The only one that would get hurt where it would change
Cam.
The point spread is Cam, and that's
right.
It.
Right. Right.
The point spread is not going to change much anymore.
Good points. Good points all. Absolutely. Let's see then. Let's see. That's pretty much it. We'll see you next time. No, I'm just kidding. So any other comments then you wanted to bring up about the Super Bowl? And we'll just switch to some other potpourri, because that was pretty much it. So we'll start with Andy. Anything else that was on your mind regarding football or... the new Thursday night contract, or really anything. Just feel free to just shoot your mind.
No, not really. I'm just going back down memory lane and see what Carolina did. And so, yeah, a big like hand wave and big finger and go away. You are not big time. Maybe that Bengal dust never wears off you. But Carson Palmer, his performance was just a fucking... flat-ass pancake, so he can get lost. And that's probably why we are a little high on Carolina at the moment, because of what they did against Arizona. But next year, Arians and Palmer will get a lot of love anyway. Another hand wave to Marvin Lewis. You embarrass yourself in the playoffs again, and you'll get to do it all over again next year too. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then the other hand wave for the playoffs is the Houston Texan quarterback. But he has the Cincinnati Bengals to thank for no one really remembers how bad he was because the Bengals out-stunk him on that same day.
Yeah.
So that's all I got on the AFC, and I guess potpourri thoughts.
Okay. Tom, we'll get your potpourri. Anything else you had from the world of football as we wrap it up for the 2015 season?
I will say that I put zero stock in Carolina being Arizona. I think Arizona having 70 turnovers, pretty much 30 teams could have beaten Arizona last week. That's how bad they were. Carson Palmer is Carson Palmer. We knew he couldn't do it in a big spot. My boy Jeremy, big Carson Palmer fan, he admitted after the game he looked like crap. He was wrong about Carson Palmer. I think we all know who Carson Palmer is in the big spot. He has no guts or moxie or whatever adjective you want to put in there, Andy. Just doesn't have it. Andy made the worst possible bet of the playoffs, taking Houston. He learned from his mistake. Hopefully he knows better next time. Never to trust Houston and J.J. Watt. Dave, you know how I feel about
yes.
J.J. Watt.
You and Mike.
Houston.
Yeah, J.J. Watt. Mike's right about J.J. Watt, yes. By the way. You know, Funhouse got that, but he doesn't.
Hello?
Hello? Did we lose Andy?
He
was fired up.
J.J. Watt in a nutshell.
Oh.
Mike was right about that, 100% right. Funhouse does have it, but he's not going to show up because Mike was right about it. And day one, just belittled J.J. Watt, and for all the right reasons.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, Andy, how long do you give it until Funhouse blocks both of us on Twitter? I give it about an hour a week.
Over under, like, 11 days.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. He's catching on our poking fun at him. He knows we don't like him anymore, so I'm expecting a block soon. He's already blocked B. Mitch, or a.k.a. McCluth. So I think we're next.
Well, McCluthernes, not McCluth. McCluth is a different
whatever,
guy.
Whatever his stupid name. I just know him as B. Mitch.
Fair enough. I call him Mitch Man. But anyway, you know, Andy.
Blocked
you put...
by Funhouse. I'd want Al Michaels to say that. Blocked by Funhouse. That'd be good.
That'd be great.
Seriously, how big of a loser do you have to be to tape Mike's show every day
mm-hmm.
and to go back and listen to the entire show and to find things Mike was wrong about and to email Mushnick about it? He must do that at least 5 times a week.
He's got
to. How big of a loser do you have to be to do that?
Well, he said they were talking about how Funhouse recorded every single instance of how many times they used the Tom Brady question. I'm like, you have got to have no life to go through all the instances in like 4 or 5 hour shows in a row to actually do a spreadsheet of that information. And man, I tell you, I mean, look, maybe some people are obsessive enough to care, but the majority of us are not. I mean, Andy, how big do you think this guy gets out at all?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has a job too. But in this day and age, everyone can kind of multitask.
Right.
You can take the show, do your job, come home, have a little dinner, have a glass of wine, crack the knuckles, and say, "Ooh, I get to watch Mike's show, Tebow style," and then. It's the second job, I guess, and then nitpick everything. He said the instead of thou. He said whom instead of whomever. Oh, he's getting stories mixed up. Players' names said 2 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock. I got good source material, and he's just like Mike's tattletale, as other people would say.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Tim in Milford, who I just learned yet today, his name is Tim Chacho. This is a very funny name, Chacho. But so that guy tried to call the show for the contest, and he got dial tone 3 times in a row. The first time was great, though. The whole board erupted in laughter. God, these guys are such mongos. I mean, look, I didn't know that there were factions within the Mongo Nation that were fighting with each other. I mean, how deep does this get? Like, are you keen on all that yourself, Andy?
No, I'll just say Duck was right about Twitter.
Yeah, very fair point. You know, that's... I know I'm just as bad with some of these tweets, but I'm not taking pictures of bananas in the backseat of my car tweeting them. So, did you see that, Tommy? Like, Mongo had taped and put a picture of a banana in his seat for some reason, and I don't know. I'm just as bad with the pictures. I'm not look, full disclosure, I take pictures of food all the time, so I'm no different. I'm not a whole lot different, but, I don't know. I've had enough to say. Okay, so Tommy, let's just carry on. You said you had some bonus props or something like that for to share, so we have so much free time right now. You have the floor.
All right, thanks, Dave. All right, let me get my sheet open. Let me go. Okay, here we go. Now, these are... Now, I took about 20 minutes to do this, so, I mean, we were talking about having no time, and I mean, I have plenty of time, it seems, to be doing this, but here we go. 10-1 odds that there is an earthquake, and there's a stipulation. Nance or Sims has to mention it on the air for it to count. Now, why is it 10-1 odds that there is an earthquake? This seems rather low.
I know.
Mean, it's 22-1 odds that Keekly wins MVP, but it's only 10-1 that there's an earthquake. That doesn't seem like fair. It should be like 1,000-1. I mean, if you predict that there's an earthquake coming, you should be making a lot of money.
It's true.
Next
well,
one.
The only person dumber to. Then the person that made that prop is someone that bets on that prop.
And you're talking to one.
Odd. Yeah, well...
I put $10 on it, guys.
Yeah.
Well,
I put $10 on it.
Well, remember, the odds are usually a measure of what people think that bet's going to play out, not necessarily what the actual statistical odds of it playing out are. So what I think that is that you've got a lot of guys from out of the area... who think, oh, there's always earthquakes there. I think there's going to be an earthquake. I'll bet on there being an earthquake. That's where that comes from. I don't think there really is 10-1 probability of there being an earthquake. I mean, you're talking about the thousands. So I think it's just guys' perception of earthquakes happening all the time here, similar to how it's always raining in Seattle every day, every hour. But that's kind of where I think it is coming from.
To further this, Dave, how often does an earthquake happen in California? Would you say like twice a year?
Wait, well, be more specific in a specific city in California, or because we get hundreds of them every year. Just they're all
right,
over.
How
the
about
place.
In San Francisco? How many are there usually a year?
Oh, a year, maybe one.
Okay, so it should be 365 odds. 365-1 odds, not 10-1. This is ridiculous.
Right.
This is the first thing I saw looking at these prop bets, and I just thought this is the stupidest thing I've ever read. I can't get past this. All right, next one. Longest touchdown of the game. The over-under is 42.5 yards. This is one where I'm almost positive. I know I was just bashing the guy 5 minutes ago, but I expect Ted Ginn to catch a pass for over 42 yards for a touchdown. So I'm going with the over for that. I forgot to write down the money for that, so I'll get back to that.
All right, as long as go ahead. I was going to ask for Andy's opinion. I was wondering whether he would take the over or under.
42.5 yards.
You get better odds for saying yes or no. What's the juice?
Terrible job on me. I have to look that back up. So we'll go back to that.
Probably close. I like rooting for offense. So I would say over. It just you would think in the span of 60 minutes, you get one play to just rip open.
Yeah, usually when a Super Bowl, there's always that one big play, right? Either a big run or a big catch. Now, I'm getting guess a touchdown return counts, right? For a special team touchdown, that would count, right? Or not?
Read the prop in its entirety again. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to go back to that.
One more time, Victor.
One more time, Victor. All right. While you looked that up, give us the next one.
All right, here's the next one. This is called the Otis bet. Will there be a safety in the game? Yes is plus 450. No is minus 700. So it's 4.5 to 1, right?
Right.
So I'm going to go with yes.
We've had a good run of safeties in recent years in the Super Bowl. We had one in that Denver Super Bowl, I believe. So we had one in the Giants Patriots one, the second one, if I recall correctly. So
I've known Otis, he always bets this. I feel like he wins it almost every year.
Yeah, I'm aware.
That's why it's the Otis bet.
He used to bring it up on the show whenever we would have him on, like around Super Bowl time. So yeah, it's a decent play. Andy, how would you play it?
I don't play it, but if I would, I would do the plus. I mean, who in the right mind would risk $70 to win 10? That's what you do when you risk, no, there will not be a safety. Right. And then if there is a safety, you're like, that sucks. But if I was pressed to play it, I would be in the Otis scenario for sure.
Yeah, there's no way you can bet no on this bet for the reason
you know who bet no? Like curmudgeons bet no on that. That's like you bet on, you know, like you root for the dealer in blackjack. That's just
now the only instance where it would make possible sense is if you could do parlays on these prop bets, but you can't. So it doesn't make any sense otherwise to do it.
Right.
If you could do this with another 3 or 4 bets and increase your odds, that would make sense. But you can't do a parlay with a prop bet, at least not on this site or any site I've done in the past year.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's correct. That is true. That is true.
All right. So so far so good. Any others from your list, Tommy?
Okay. MVP odds. Cam is minus 150. The next one is Peyton at plus 350. And here's my dark horse, Josh Norman, plus 2,500. If Josh Norman gets an INT for a touchdown, it's a low-scoring game. I could see him possibly getting maybe a couple of INTs and him possibly getting the Super Bowl MVP. I think that's a good play for your bang, good bang for your buck with plus 2,500. And I actually think minus 150 for Cam, it's not great odds, but it might be worth it. Minus 150 is not terrible odds. It's not great, but, I mean, there's not many options for Carolina if you're picking Carolina to win. I mean, you could go with Jonathan Stewart, possibly. Yeah.
It often is the quarterback anyway, so to get that 150 is pretty good.
If you're sure that Carolina is going to win, you might as well just pick Cam. I mean, minus 150 is not terrible.
It's really not. Good play. How would you go about it, Mr. Andy, on the MVP?
On the last prop that Tommy was just talking about?
Yeah, MVP honors. Like, who would you select there? Would you do
either quarterback. Right. But again, I don't really partake in those props. I like if I do those props, you know, it's like how many yards will X quarterback throws?
I got one of those.
Like that. MVP is just it's too unpredictable.
True.
It's and you don't get true odds. I'm Captain No Fun about the props.
All right. And just so you know,
all right, here's one that Andy would like.
Okay.
Emmanuel Sanders, over under 69.5 receiving yards. Both ways, it's minus 115.
Yeah, that's an ice fire over on.
And here's another one. Here's another one. Jonathan Stewart, over under 65.5 yards. And again, it's minus 115 both ways.
Yeah, that one I'd have to think about more before playing or lean under.
Or how about this one? Ted Ginn, longest reception, over 24.5 yards, again, minus 115 both ways.
You know what I would play? Whatever Owen Daniels over under for receptions would be.
Let me get
probably
that.
Be like 2.5.
I think that's 3.5.
3.5, okay. Funhouse got that. I said 2.5. But even if it's 3.5, I will take it. I would play the over.
Yeah, I have 2.5, but either way, you could take either one, right? I mean, it's a comfortable bet. Okay, so what's next on your list, Tom? Anything else?
All right, I only have like a couple more. I know this is kind of getting boring. Margin of victory, Broncos by 1 or 1 to 3, plus 850, and if they win by 4 to 6, it's plus 1200. So if you have the Broncos winning, I mean, 850 or 1200, that's great odds. And another one I like is total INTs by both teams being over 1.5.
Well, I saw 2.5, but
if it's 1.5, it's 2-1. Look, 220, so 2.25 to 1. So, and if it's the under, it's plus 170. So if you don't expect INTs, that might be a good one. Another one that Annie might like is Panthers total rushing yard, 124.5, over-under is 115. I mean, over-under is 124.5 and it's minus 115 both ways.
Tuffy.
Yeah. If I were a Bronco Mongo, which I'm not, but if I were, I would do the win by X, 8 to 12 points or whatever that was with the big payday.
If it's 8 to 12, I think it's plus 1600.
Oof! Wow! Imagine that. That's
that's the 1-2-3 Bronco fan play. This expected blowout. And you get a good play if you think like that.
All right. I don't know how you're going to do 45 minutes on it tomorrow, Dave, but here's my last one.
All right.
Broncos total points. Over under is 20.
Broncos 20 total points.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to be over 20. It's going to be totally under.
So
that.
You go under.
Oh, yeah. No question.
And it's minus 115, please.
Andy, first of all, just really, really quickly, if they go over, they're not going to go over by very much. It'd be like at most 23. At most, they would score 23 points in this game on Super Bowl Sunday. Let's go to Andy now for his thought. Over under 20 or under 20, right?
I wouldn't play it. I mean, like I said, my subjective brain is like in Kim Jones' world, in PDOT world, with, an emphasis on the anti-Broncos. Just that's never changed, I close my eyes and I want the Broncos to do bad, but crazy things happen in the Super Bowl. They could get Cam Newton to loaf his bread in deep in their own end zone, and I don't care how bad or Olympic Peyton Manning can be, if his defense gives him a turnover and they get the ball at the Carolina 12, they're going to score a point. So that's the other side of the coin, which is why I wouldn't play Denver over or under 20 points.
Good point. Well, it's a good argument. It's a good argument for sure. I'll maintain my confidence in the under, but it's a decent point because, if you get a kickoff return, for example, that could boost the score. So you just can't say for sure, but we'll see. Well, that's it then, everybody. Andy, thanks for popping in tonight. It was really nice of you to stop by. Enjoy all the college games. Which games do you have your eye on this evening?
They're, I'm walking now because they all turned to losers in the second half once I started the show. Iowa State, they're going to probably lose to West Virginia. Georgia Tech's going to lose to Duke. They got the early pumpkin time, unfortunately. And Michigan, their pumpkin time basically started 10 minutes into the game. They had Indiana score 25 unanswered in Michigan, and all shocked John Beilein. And so I didn't watch a dribble in the second half because that game was over at halftime. So we'll try to turn it around with San Diego State, Colorado State as the last game of the night. But Tommy's team is looking good. Providence is looking good in that conference. So, you know, is there going to be time where Mr. Mike's going to start talking about college basketball? He did yesterday, and all his haters be like, he doesn't even pay attention to basketball. But, you know, you snap your fingers, close your eyes, it's going to be March before you know it.
Oh, I like that. Yep. All right. Well, good luck to your picks then, Andy. Tom, any last words before we go?
Big East is only going to get three teams, and Xavier, Providence, and Villanova, that's it. Georgetown and Seton Hall. Both will not get in the tournament, is my prediction. I just want to say congrats to Andy. The Celtics beat my Knicks, and Carmelo with a hideous performance today, shooting only 4 of 16. And I also want to say congrats to Andy for Isaiah Thomas making the All-Star game. And I think he's the first guy under 6 feet to make the All-Star game in a long time. If you don't count Allen Iverson.
Well, if we had a fun house, and we do have a fun house, I've been always never thought Isaiah Thomas would be anywhere close to where he is now in the NBA. He didn't look like a team player in college, and the size is obviously a big issue. But he create a lot more now than he was ever really doing it.
He
shoot free throws very well in college. And then when he was with the Kings, everyone just said he kind of was just like a guy that would rather score 18 points a game in on a team that wins 30 games than score 12 points a game on a team that wins 50 games a year. But he has actually been the opposite. So 1-2-3 Celtics. 1-2-3 Believe, and congrats to IT.
Oh yeah, congrats to IT. Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, good stuff, fellas. Well,
come on, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little out of it tonight. Sorry. Good stuff. Yeah, the Celtics look all right. I mean, they've had their moments. They have a nice season going. Certainly, there is a team here in Southern California that is way worse than that right now. So we'll carry on. Guys, it's been fun. Thanks for popping in for a few minutes. Enjoy the evening. Good luck to your games, everyone. And we'll see you again down the road. And hopefully more of the same. So, Andy, thanks. Tommy, thanks. Take it easy, guys. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Take care, Dave.
Right,
see you later, guys.
All right, fellas. Well, that's it for our show tonight. That is it. I mean, I could have asked, like, where are they going to see the Super Bowl? But, you know, we do that conversation every year. All right, good stuff anyway. It was a fun time. We have one more Super Bowl week show tomorrow. We'll cover prop bets with Tom in Northern Virginia. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow if you're on Twitter, or go to our website, www.didcow.com. One more show tomorrow. We'll see you next time.